Meeting.
Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 5. Boaz said to his servant, the set over the reapers, "Whose maiden is this?" And the servant of the set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish maiden who came back with Naomi out of the field of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." And she came and continued from the morning until now. Her sitting in the house has been little and yet. And then Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. Verse 1, he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. The front of the house was eastward, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the gate northward, and led me round outside, unto the outer gate, towards the gate that looks eastward. And behold, waters ran out on the right side. When the man went forth eastward, a line was in his hand, and he measured 1,000 cubits. And he caused me to pass through the waters were to the ankles. And he measured 1,000 cubits, and he caused me to pass through the waters were to the knees. And he measured 1,000, and caused me to pass through the waters were to the loins. And he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said unto me, "Son of man, hast thou seen this?" And he led me and brought me back to the bank of the river. When I returned, behold, on the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said unto me, "These waters issue out toward the east district, and go down into the plain, and go into the sea. When they are brought forth into the sea, the waters thereof shall be healed." And in passing through, on our way to Revelation, John, again, John's Gospel, chapter 16. John 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. "But when he is come, the Spirit of truth, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will announce to you what is coming. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall announce it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. On account of this, I have said that he receives of mine, and shall show it unto you." And finally, as I said, in Revelation, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, verse 17. "And the Spirit of the bride said, Come." As I was sitting meditating there, I seem to see this link between what our dear brothers have been laboring to bring before us, and the work of the Holy Spirit in his twofold way, very many aspects, but considering this particular aspect of the dear brother Derek is bringing before us, how he works in our affections, and might be rival affections in the hearts of the saints towards Christ. Then the work of the Holy Spirit in us in the matter of service. And that's why I referred first of all to Ruth. In the Genesis 24, we might say that the Holy Spirit conveys, or it's an actual canon, the Holy Spirit is conveying the bride through. And here in the book of Ruth, the Holy Spirit is in control, isn't it? He's in control. The young man that was set over the reapers, he's in control of the reapers. And we must appreciate that. In any measure in which we seek to serve the Lord, however humble or mean the way it might be, we must realize that whatever it is, whatever we take up for the Lord, that the Holy Spirit, the blessed Holy Spirit, is in control. And Boaz, of course, is the mighty man of strength. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? Wonderful supreme one. In that unique and blessed character as the man of strength. Who was Reuben, wasn't he? Firstborn of the dignity, it says in Genesis 41. Excellency of power and excellence of might, the Lord, and Boaz is the mighty one. And there he has this servant set over his reapers, the one who is in control of all service. And he administers it all, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12. There is but one spirit works in us all, and in the whole body, everything's in control by him. Everything's administered by him. So there we see in that passage in Ruth, the Holy Spirit in control. And Ruth, of course, coming in, we know that subsequently she's going to be the bride of Boaz, but in the meantime, she's there serving among the reapers, coming to glean. And surely that would speak of our service, provide food. She actually was going to be providing food for herself and her mother-in-law. And presumably, no presumption about it, this would be one of our first concerns, that we might be providing food for the saints of God, and that we might be seeking as we go out and teaching in the Sunday school perhaps, visiting the sick, we might see these dear ones being saved and gathered in to form part of that vast company, and ministering the word of Christ, and serving the Lord in very, very many ways. But it's the blessing of getting it from the Word of God. We can only pass on to souls things that are from the Word of God. No good passing on from Shakespeare or Dickens or what we learn from these areas. No, it must be from the Word of God. That's where we get it. It's the food to our souls. And we must make it part of us. And so let us glean among the sheaves and gather up and beat out. And so there she was, gleaning among the sheaves. As the hymn writer said, I walk for his pleasure, whilst keeping my eyes on the end of the field where standeth the prize. And he too with pleasure his fruit may review. Is the man in the glory, a stranger to you, the writer goes on to say, George Cutting in that word. He's speaking of labouring the field for the Lord. And I'm sure you, many of you, dear mature saints, need no elaboration of these things. You've done it. You've borne the burden and heat of the day. And surely your desire would be that there might be those younger in the faith following on, whose faith following on in this way of threshing out the wheat, making it fine, chewing the cud, ruminating on it, making the word of God your own, and enabling you to go forth in service for him. And it's a blessed thing, of course, to get it in the field, threshing there in the field. But later on, we read of her being at the feet of Boaz. She was at his feet. And, you know, she got a lot more at his feet than she did in the field. She got one measure when she was in the field. But when she was at Boaz's feet and she took it home, the amount that came out there was six measures. I think it was one ephah she got in the field, and six measures at his feet. And I understand that two measures make an ephah. So she got three ephahs at his feet. She got more at his feet. That's the point, you see. It's a blessed thing to be out there and service for the Lord, but if we want the real blessing from him, we must spend that time in communion with him at his feet. There's a dear brother, he's going out to America to minister the word of God for 5 weeks, and God in his overruling has enabled that dear brother, for the 5 days alone with the Lord in a house. He wasn't intending that. He'd intended to be staying with somebody, but somehow or other it's happened that he's going to be alone with the Lord for 5 days and feeding on the Word of God. And then we can trust that the Lord leaves him here for that 5 weeks as he goes to America, minister the Word to the saints there, that the Lord will bring forth something of the bounty and the blessing of what he's had at the feet of the Lord. Mind you, of course, he hasn't just started sitting at the feet of the Lord. He sat at the feet of the Lord when he was a young man. It's not just something that you suddenly pick up. It's got to be there. You've got to have that desire when you're young. Get into it. That's what they used to say when I was a young believer. Get into it. Get into these things. And get them at the feet of the Lord. So anyway, the great point is that the Holy Spirit is in control. He's in control of our service and our work for the Lord here. He conveys in Genesis 24 in Ruth, he is in control. In Ezekiel, the Holy Spirit conducts. He conducts through the waters. And there we see that wonderful picture. I remember as a very young believer reading some ministry by a dear servant of God, Mr. Trench, his name was, not J.A. Trench, but J.C. Trench. And he'd given some ministry on this theme. And it gripped my soul as a very young lad of 15 that this, the real effect of what it was to get into these waters to swim in, to be led through, to have the various exercises, the water up to your ankles, then moving on to the knees, and up to the hips and the thighs, and finally into the waters to swim in. Surely that's how the blessed Holy Spirit of God will lead us. It's a common expression, be thrown in at the deep end, often start in our offices or our work. They like to throw people in at the deep end. But that's not the way I feel with the Holy Spirit of God. I stand corrected afterwards, but I feel the Holy Spirit would lead us in gently into these things. Just a little bit of a time to quet our appetite, and lead us a bit more on and on, and get into these blessed things. He conducts us through the waters. The Spirit of God does. He conducts us through. How blessed and wonderful that is. And what does he do when he's conducting us through? He takes of the things of Christ, and that's why, it's a wonderful thing. These Old Testament types are very blessed for us, but they must be firmly founded on the New Testament. And there we read these verses in John 16, when he discovered the Spirit of Truth. We were remarking this morning on the importance of this blessed title, the subscription of him as the Spirit of Truth. He is true, of course, as being God, he is true, but truth is the expression of what is true. Truth is the expression of what is true, and so he is the Spirit of Truth. There's nothing that's insincere, incomplete, nothing that's devious in there at all, and everything is open and above board, absolutely true. And though he shall guide you into all the truth. As that servant of old was that man with the measuring rod was guiding Ezekiel through the waters. The Holy Spirit guides us into all the truth, conducts us through these waters. And it says he shall not speak from himself. Blessed subject, place that the Holy Spirit is taking in this day. Blessed and wonderful that he is God. But today he takes this subject place and does not speak from himself, but speaks of the things of heaven. Whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. But that blessed, eternal sphere of things, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in divine eternal counsel, that purpose of God, every purpose shall be established by counsel. And there was a brother who used to speak about the council chambers of eternity, where divine persons we haven't got a proper word for it in English, but it's Godhead persons. The persons of the Godhead were in converse, in a council in that past age of eternity, and all that blessed converse, all that was gone over there, we might reverently say, is coming out now in the blessed Spirit's ministry. How wonderful it is, isn't it? Coming out now in the Spirit's ministry. We see, I think, a little picture of it in the tabernacle system in that oil, the lampstand there burning, the oil that's weak. Put in there morning and night, and the Spirit is giving witness to this blessed ministry of Christ. and know, dear saints of God, let us be occupied with that, not with the tinsel and things of this world at all, but be occupied with the testimony that the Spirit is giving to Christ, that our hearts and our affections, our desires may be on that line, to hold and maintain things today, the truth of the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of the one body, and the responsibilities that are connected with to it. There's much, of course, there is quite a lot of talk about the truth of the one body, but we very often forget that although it's a blessed privilege, it carries with it a commensurate amount of responsibility. And we have to hang our heads in shame how often we let things come in that would deviate us from this, from the responsibilities that are connected with it. Sometimes even our own natural relationships, conveniences, and things like that come in. But we must remember that there is the truth that's been committed to us. We must hold it today and take it up and maintain it, no matter what the price is. We're exhorted and of all to buy the truth and sell it not. And it's very necessary today, in these darker and more difficult days, as things get dark around, to be found here, maintaining instead the truth, and of course being maintained by the truth. That's the great point, is to hold the truth in love, as it says in Ephesians. To hold the truth in love. It's the only way it can be held. If we try and hold it in a legal way, it's no good. It won't function. It must be held in love. And that's how the truth must be taken up, in love. And so there's all the blessed truth that has come out. And he will announce or report or show. He will report to you what is coming. And oh, you know, it's blessed and wonderful as the Spirit brings before us all the occupations of today. But it says, he shall announce to you what is coming. Of course, from that point of view then, when the Lord was here on earth, there was a lot that came out, the descent of the Holy Spirit himself at Pentecost. The setting up of the body of Christ and the saints being gathered in. But now, of course, we can look on to what is coming. And it's not so much what is coming, it's who is coming. Amen. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus. He's coming. Who is coming? The Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that gladden our hearts, dear saint of God, and put make us hop and skip and jump and leap? The wonderful fact that he's coming, a glorious person. We sung to him, we're going to see his blessed face. We're waiting to hear that sound, arise, my love. My fair woman, come away. The voice of the turtle is heard in the land. It's time to sing of the birds has come. We're waiting that blessed moment every heart shall lift up. You know, just last Monday, I spent time with some dear saints of God, and we're reading 1 Thessalonians 4. Dear saints of God, well, perhaps they didn't know as much truth as many of you do here, but at least they knew that the Savior was coming for them. It was a cheer to my heart to think that these dear young ones, most of them were probably half my age, and they were rejoicing in this wonderful fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And at the end we sung with gusto, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. Yes, what is it? He's coming. And that blessed scene when we're going to be caught up with him. And of course, he'll administer this world once we've been married to him. He comes forth. We're going to reign with him, and he'll administer this world for 1,000 years, then ushers in God's eternal day, that blessed and wonderful scene. He shall show what is coming. And it says, supremely, he shall glorify me. Let us never lose sight of that, of this point, he shall glorify me. This is the supreme purpose and work of the Holy Spirit, to glorify Christ. He doesn't glorify himself. He doesn't glorify man or any saints, but he glorifies Christ. For you shall receive of mine and shall announce it to you. Oh, wonderful and blessed that is, too. That the blessed Spirit glorifies Christ. If there's any ministry, anything that you read or hear or see that does not glorify Christ, you can take it that it's nothing to do with the Spirit. It's not the Spirit's ministry. But if there is an alleged or so-called ministry of the Spirit, what is the end of it? Is it glorifying Christ? That's the test, isn't it? Does it glorify Christ? Does it make it larger and more wonderful in our hearts? Not, of course, that that's going to do anything to enhance the glory of Christ, but surely as we are led by the Spirit and have something of the grandeur and glory and majesty and wonderful splendour of that Blessed One, magnified and glorified in the heart, surely we know that He is being glorified. But not that anything can be added to it. He goes beyond all that we can give. As the hymn writer says, "Thou art greater, glorious Saviour, than the glory Thou hast won. This, the greatness of Thy glory, ever blessed, God the Son, in all the uniqueness of His glorious person." John says, "We beheld His glory, the glory as of an only begotten with the Father." Uniqueness in that glory that was His. Oh, indeed, well might we respond as the Spirit would lead to glorify Christ, that we may be ready to respond to Him. "He shall take of mine and shall report or show it to you." So the Spirit conducts us into these blessed things, and we find ourselves in waters to swim in, don't we? Beyond our depths, lavishing in the wonderful love of God and in the power and freshness of the Holy Spirit. What a blessed, wonderful place to be in. Lost in wonder, love and praise, even now, into the joy of it. The Spirit, of course, in Luke 14, compels them to come in. And earlier in this chapter 16, He convinces men of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And what is the conclusion of the Holy Spirit? What's the culmination? The Spirit's culmination. We have it, don't we, in Revelation 22. The Spirit's culmination. "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come." And here we come back onto the line that Derek was on. I would feel, you know, that as the Spirit glorifies Christ, on our side, His great work is that there might be bridal affections, that our hearts may go out in pristine affection to the Lord Jesus Christ, responding to Him. You know, I was very glad that Derek stressed that she sprang off the camel. She didn't take a time about it and wait for a stool to be put there to come off easily, or helped off it, or wait till it went down, as the camels do. No, she was so desirous to get to Him that she sprang off the camel. And dear saint of God, won't that be the case with us? We'll arise, we're longing to be there with Him. We're going to go up and go right to Him. There'll be no holding us at all. We'll be so desirous to get to Him. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. You know, it's not without significance that this is the only word that the Bride says in the New Testament. The only word that she says is come. There's lots of things, you know, that you would have thought we would probably be writing, that we might have put words into her mouth, but no. The only word she says is come. Come. She wants to respond to Him. And so this is the wonderful conclusion of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is in control of our service here, and the Holy Spirit who conducts us through into the wonderful truth of God, and the Holy Spirit who conveys us to Christ Himself. And so here is the end of it all. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Oh, that our hearts and our affections may be to Him, responding to Him, desire to be with Him and to be like Him. Oh, Lord Jesus, come. Well, might that be the response from every one of our hearts, and sure it is. Never let us let up, dearly beloved. We're looking for Him. As we look around, we know that the things can't get any better. But we, in the time that we left, of course, it says, Him that hears say, Come. We can, as in the days that are left for us, we go out with the gospel call to the needy world around. But our affections are from Christ, and our desire is to meet Him in the air. And so we respond with the leading of the Spirit. Come, even so come, Lord Jesus.